Hi. It's me, Henry Zebrowski, from Last Podcast on the Left. We're here with Ed Larson.
How you doing?
What's also from Last Podcast on the Left. We are here at Contact in the Desert, one of the biggest UFO conferences in the world, if not the biggest.
I feel like it has to be the biggest.
It's one of the biggest.
There's bigger ones than this?
I don't know, but I want to go to those because this has been fun. But we're here with a very special guest. I'm so glad that you're here. I've been reading your work and reading your words and hearing your mouth for many, many years. And it's very nice to see you in clothes sitting here in a conference room alive.
And yes.
It's really great.
Clothes are good. I always come clothed.
Clothes is, honestly, if you were nude, I would just understand that's a part of your belief system. This is Nick Pope. He is a journalist, former civil servant, that's like an author. And you worked for the UK Ministry of Defense at the UFO desk from 91 to 94, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was, man, 29 years ago?
Yes, my gosh, time flies. But yeah, yes. My job there was basically to investigate the sightings and assess any defense, national security, and safety of flight issues.
This is very, very interesting. I want to get into all of this.
Is someone else doing your job now?
Officially, no, because the British government claimed that at the end of 2009, after having done this for nearly 50 years, they terminated the program. But I've heard fairly reliable sources basically say, look, they're still in the game. Someone's doing something. And what actually got really announced literally yesterday was that the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology is actually doing a study on how it would be announced if we find life beyond Earth.
This actually fits into a bunch of questions we already had.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to start first with a just straight up, you've been at Contact in the Desert every year. How much has it changed all over this like time period? Like in terms of just like UFO cons in general? Because you are like, you run the gamut, right, of all of these various like UFO cons what would you call it? Like anomalous thought conventions?
Yeah, alternative belief.
Yeah.
Though there are some conferences really just focus almost exclusively on UFOs.
Yes.
But even within that, you know, some people say, well, UFOs, what about alien abductions? What about crop circles? Things that people think are connected with this. But some conferences are a little bit more new age. They get into kind of spirituality, consciousness, crystals, that kind of thing.
There's some crystals here.
Oh, yeah, there are some crystals. Pretty impressive ones.
Yes. Absolutely. Very like athletic looking 60 to 70-year-old ladies losing their minds out there, man. Loving it out there. They are like...
This is their mecca.
This is their mecca. This is a crazy... Like, have you ever been into... Like, does George Norrie get drunk in public?
You know, I think that's classified information.
I just want to know. I haven't seen him around. People are like, have you seen George? I was like, I haven't seen George yet. I want to see him.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny. No, I haven't seen him yet either. I'm sure he's here somewhere. But, you know, it's just huge. And I've been doing things myself. I've been doing some interviews. I've been doing a workshop where I did an Ask Me Anything. But, you know, to answer your question, I think there's two things. Firstly, this event, Contact in the Desert, has steadily grown over the years. I mean, it is huge. I think one big media outlet called it the Woodstock of UFOs.
Yeah. A lot of tie-dye.
Great quote. Yeah. But the big change actually was that the conference used to be held at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. So it was kind of literally contact in the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
Not contact in the hotel by the desert.
Contact at Palm Springs. Yeah.
And the Joshua Tree Retreat Center is great. It's a brilliant place, really great atmosphere, but sometimes the air conditioning was a little cranky, and when it went down, we began to lose some of the older people.
Oh, for sure.
Keeling over.
I legitimately think it would probably kill a lot of the clientele here.
I had to pick someone up off the floor earlier today.
Why are you doing that?
Well, because they passed out.
What, really?
Yeah, this, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about this. But yeah, someone, it was too hot. People aren't drinking their water.
Right.
Make sure we got plenty of water for you, Mr. Pope.
Yes, he's covered in water.
We made sure that you had Voss and VP, and so you have your options.
But I live in Tucson, so
you know what you're doing.
I know about heat. Yeah. And my wife, Elizabeth, she described 70 degrees as freezing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's yeah, where yeah, I yeah. usually come from. That's right, me now. Yeah.
Usually with an expletive before it.
Yes.
That's blank freezing, yeah. And I'm with her on that. I hate it when you go into hotel rooms and someone set the thermostat to like 65, 66. The temperature, it creeps. It used to be 68. Now I've noticed more and more it's like 66, 60. Well, we probably, this is not what you want to talk to me about.
No, it's fine.
I'll talk about this for the rest of the interview. Yeah. This is my favorite because honestly, you've talked about UFOs for a long time and we like, our audience is super interested in this. But when you, we'll get to the subject. When you worked at the UK Ministry of Defense, you say you investigated sightings and like, what does that entail? Like when you investigate something, like what was the process that you'd go through?
First, you get all the information and, you know, date and time of sighting, location, direction in which it was seen, description, estimated height, speed, angle of, elevation.
Yes.
Prevailing meteorological conditions, all of that. And then you just start to kind of, well, first of all, you apply a bit of common sense and say, yeah. Look, you know, we've been doing this since 1953. We've got huge databases. What does it sound like it might be? Because most of these things, of course, turn out to be misidentifications.
Yeah, and a lot of balloons.
Yeah. And so you do that. But then in terms of the methodology, radar is a big part of a government UFO investigation. So you reach out to your Air Force colleagues and say, hey, you know, let's get the radar tapes. I'd like to check this location, this time. What have we got? So we do that. Then if we have a photo or a video, I would go to the intelligence community imagery analysts, leverage their resources and capabilities and say, well, number one, is this a real photo or has someone faked it?
Yeah.
Number two, if it's real, you know, what can you tell me about it?
What information can you pull from it?
Yes. And sometimes if it's a picture at night of just a light in the sky, the answer is not very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have a daylight photo, particularly if you have some of the background in so that you can triangulate, you can start to calculate distance from the lens, height, diameter, that sort of thing. And then you can look at the structure and say, well, look, how does it fly? Because a lot of these things don't have the conventional, you know, no fuselage, wings, engine. But is there something there that could tell you something about the aerodynamics, the propulsion system, the energy source, that sort of thing?
Well, now they just recently talked about there has been breakthrough in this concept of quote unquote propulsionless travel using electricity, where I guess they magnetize like the air underneath the plane wings. A guy explained it to me very thinly in an email, but as I was reading through, but it does seem like we're kind of heading towards that direction where the technology or military is making certain to kind of look like UFOs and act like UFOs.
Oh yeah. And at any given time, there will be things being developed and test flown that are somewhere between 10 and 20 years ahead of what's publicly announced. And some of those things for sure look like they come out of a sci-fi movie. I mean, can you imagine, for example, a pilot who happens to see a B-2 stealth bomber back in, say, the early 80s before they were revealed?
Yeah.
They would think, my gosh, that's a UFO.
I guess one of my big pushbacks with, like, I believe there's a mixture of all of it within the phenomena, that there's technology that we don't understand. There's some nuts and bolts aliens that maybe that concept might be real, like UFOs visiting here, interdimensionality, the idea that they are on top of us right now. I think it's all very interesting. But I wonder, like nowadays, like when the idea of the government making things that look like UFOs to act like UFOs or to sort of ape that, like how long do you think that's been going on? And why would you, like, they always say that they are seeing it over like cities or they're seeing it in populated areas, and why would they test top secret technology in places where people would even be able to see it?
Well, partly that might be to see how those people react.
Yeah.
It's a kind of test, as it were. But generally speaking, you're right. Generally, we don't test top secret equipment anywhere other than really remote areas like Area 51, of course, or areas out over the sea and usually at night. Reason being, obviously, you don't want somebody in a city getting a great high-resolution film or photograph and then publishing it, and the next thing, you know, Chinese or Russian or both in military intelligence say, hey, great, we've got everything we need, thanks.
Thanks. That's the part we were missing.
10 of those, please.
Fly from your grave.
How do you feel about, like, how the U.S. Navy was kind of, like, now they're obviously, it's an influx of all of these reports and people seeing stuff, talking about how they've always saw stuff out in the deep ocean. Like, do you think that that could possibly be military tech that we're seeing? Like, because there's a little bit of this kind of cat and mouse game that we're doing with Russia and China. It does seem like it's kind of just playing out more so in the news than in real life.
I think you have it right when you say it's a mix of things. And in fact, in June 2021, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence published a preliminary assessment of the phenomenon. And they said, look, there is not a single answer to this that explains all of these things. There are different things going on in our skies and under our oceans. Some of it absolutely will be sensor errors.
Yeah.
Some of it will be our own tech. Some of it may be tech belonging to an adversary. And some of it may be something else. So I think all of those explanations, none of this is mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Now, when you're working, you're investigating all these different incidents, how often is it doctored? Like, how often is someone sitting there and, like, making a video on their computer and, you know, computer graphics and CGIing a UAP? Does that happen often?
It does, but not when I was doing that job for the government. Mm-hmm. We didn't get much of that. And we could tell because, of course, I mentioned intelligence community imagery analysis experts and things. People didn't try and hoax us much, probably because seriously, they thought we would send round the Men in Black or something.
Yeah,
they might well have gotten a knock on their door. You know, just like wasting police time is an offense.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to mess around with us. So that may be a factor, but more generally with the civilian research community and just generally out there on the internet, absolutely. And of course, stating the obvious, AI is going to make that 100 times worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Much, much, much harder to discern what is real and what is not real.
Yes. Although I think that in a way it's like, first you have a missile, then you have an anti-missile, then you have an anti-anti-missile.
Yes.
The way to tell whether something is AI or not is to develop an AI program to answer that question.
And then we're going to have to get rid of that AI. Then we're going to have to hire Harrison Ford. He's going to have to do Blade Runner 9, and he's going to have to kill that AI.
All he does is crash spaceships and airplanes in real life and in movies.
That's all he does. What was the attitude of the government when you were working for them? Like, how do they treat you guys in the UFO department? Like, I know, like, you know, people call you the real Fox Mulder, which honestly must make you very excited.
Yeah, no, that was fun. And of course, life imitates art, art imitates life. Eventually, of course, I met David and Jillian and Chris Carter.
Did Jillian say hello to you? Did she talk to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I went to the, I had been doing some work. I do some, sometimes because of my government background on this, I do some spokesperson work on sci-fi movies and video games.
Like consultant
stuff? Yeah, consultancy, spokesperson.
Awesome.
I did some work on the second X-Files movie, and I got to meet them all at the UK premiere of that. So that was fun. But yeah, how were we treated? Yeah, pretty. I mean, in one sense, I know this sounds crazy, and it isn't, but it was just another government job.
Sure.
But of course, when you walk down the corridors, people did whistle either the theme from The Twilight Zone or The X-Files.
Yeah, sure.
But also, of course, complete strangers would come up to you and whisper to you in the canteen, is it true?
That's a lot of power.
Have we got the aliens?
Yeah. It's been like, honestly, I'd probably be getting paid more.
You can tell me.
Yes. If there was an alien, I'd probably get a raise. if you could maybe ask somebody else if there's aliens, that'd be great.
I have an interesting question that it occurred to me before this interview. You worked for the British government. What would happen if a very public landing happened in the middle of Britain? Like, what would...
Like, in front of Buckingham Palace,
like
a UFO lands. Who gets the call?
Who investigates?
It would, in the first instance, probably have to be the Ministry of Defense, because yes. The first question from the Prime Minister downwards would be, is there a potential threat here?
Yeah.
And if there is, what could we do to mitigate that threat? So you could not have a situation where the Ministry of Defense was not involved at some level.
Do you think that's an issue with all of this altogether, that all of the interest comes from our weapons like sections and our military sections? Like, does that color how we view the entire phenomena?
It does. And it's a very interesting question, because the answer to it is most countries that have run and are still running UFO programs embed those programs either in their DOD or in their military. France is the only country that I can think of offhand. They actually embed their UFO program in their space agency. So it's a different model. And absolutely, of course, if scientists are leading it, it's done a very different way, and there's a different mindset to if the military are doing it. Because with the military, the two questions are always, is it a threat? Mm-hmm. And can we acquire some of this technology, whatever it is, and weaponize it and stop it getting into the hands of an adversary who might also weaponize it, which, by the way, explains a lot of the UFO secrecy.
Sure.
To answer your question, it's interesting, because it goes back to that point about the fact that the British government is now doing this study into how it would be announced if we find... Now, they're thinking more along the lines of, what if the James Webb Space Telescope finds something? But of course, it reads across into any number of other scenarios, including the kind of landing on the White House lawn or in front of Buckingham Palace.
Because you feel like in America, we would choose, like, we're like, all right, The Rock, you got to go say hello to these aliens. They're looking for your autograph. Like, I feel like it would be that's what I might, in my imagine. It's like you have a general, The Rock, Terrence Howard. Yeah. They go down to go talk to the aliens. And that would be a peaceful, like, society.
Wait, surely we get Morgan Freeman, because then then he does the kind of announcement in those silky tones.
Oh, yes.
And that's how we do.
And he
came all the way from Zeta Reticulum.
He's done it in movies, so maybe he'd do it from real. No, but look, in real life, first, as I say, you would have to gather information, find out very quickly, is there a threat? If there is, what could we do about it? But very, very quickly, in your scenario that it happens in Britain, the British Prime Minister, and if it was the US, the President, would have to address the nation, hopefully to reassure the people that everything's fine. And we saw, interestingly, people would say, how would that look? We have kind of a blueprint for it. It's funny, it's not a movie. It's in 1996. Remember that Martian meteorite that they found in Antarctica?
Yes.
And they thought... Now they've kind of walked it back, but NASA thought at the time that it was evidence of fossilized but microbial life. President Clinton went out into the Rose Garden and he gave a speech, and you can still see it in the archive, and it's out there. And he said something like, ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest and most profound questions that we can ask as humans has come a step closer to being answered. Subject to further scientific validation, we will move forward with this, and this is very interesting. So we've got the blueprint of what it might look like.
God, he must have taken Monica out on such a fun date that night because that's such a fun time. I can't imagine, because I feel like it would be, I don't think it would cause panic anymore. I think at this point.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, I just think that we were a little bit worried about sort of a religious panic. I know that was like one big thing because especially in the U.S. government, there's an evangelical stripe throughout our military.
There is. And some of them think that the UFO phenomenon is demonic.
Yes.
And that therefore you shouldn't engage with it because engaging with it feeds it by giving it energy.
Yes. And that's scary to them. So they don't want to engage. But then
if it came out of a volcano, it'd be demonic.
Yes. Yeah. it would be interesting. But I also think that in the way that information disseminated right now, I don't know if people would believe it.
Yeah, that's another really interesting thing. We are so divided politically that if the president was to say, my fellow Americans, people of the world, we are not alone. Everyone who supports the other political party would say, this is fake news. This is a false flag, alien invasion. They're going to do a Space Patriot Act, take away our freedoms, you know, et cetera. But you said that you don't think people would panic these days. And up until fairly recently, I went along with that. I was very much, kind of war of the worlds, panic in the streets, run for the hills. That's probably not. Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
And say, 2 or 3 years ago, the world kind of lost its collective mind.
Yes.
And we tried to shut down the world because of something that, although it was new, it was not unanticipated. I'm talking, of course, about COVID.
Yeah.
And it's not like governments all around the world didn't have contingency plans for global pandemics. They did, and they still do. And yet, what happened? Everything in those contingency plans went out of the window. Nobody anticipated how society would be torn apart by aggressive debates about masks, vaccines, lockdowns, and other mandates. And like I say, we had a collective meltdown and tried to shut down the world. If we did that for something where we had the contingency plan and we've had pandemics before, I'm not so sure that there wouldn't be panic if suddenly we got up close and personal, landing on the White House lawn, aliens.
Also, the truly unknowable thing about the human psyche is that I think you'd see patches of people like, let's say you had a full-scale biological alien invasion. There'd be like chunks of people that would like be on the alien side. There'd be people that would be on the government side.
Yeah.
There are people who not think that it's happening.
This is an absolutely true story because I mentioned I worked on some movies. I had some involvement with and did some interviews about Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
When they did the test screeners of that, at the bit where the White House got blown up, some people started cheering.
He's blown up the White House in like four different movies.
Yeah, he's so excited to blow up the White
House. And the only thing that's been blown up and destroyed more than the White House is the Golden Gate Bridge. It's been earthquakes, aliens, Godzilla.
Yeah.
What am I forgetting more?
Yeah. They go right for it. I don't know why. I think it's because of Rice-A-Roni.
Now, that's the San Francisco snack.
Yes.
Now, do you think that if there was contact, like official contact, and people from another planet or aliens from another planet came here, do you think there's anything to be scared of?
There might be. In a universe nearly 14 billion years old, there might be civilizations out there a billion years ahead of us. And as Arthur C. Clarke always said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah.
And even if they come here with altruistic or neutral purposes, who's to say that something might go wrong? You know,
Mars attacks is always my favorite when they release the birds. Yeah.
But you know, they give us gifts of technology, and what's the first thing we're going to do with that technology? Weaponize it.
Yeah.
And if it's technology a billion years ahead of anything we've got, well, heck, we crack this planet open like a nut.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there is potentially something to be concerned about. I think that's government looks at everything through the lens of two questions. What are the threats? What are the opportunities? Those questions do arise with UFOs and would arise with first contact, just the same as they would arise with anything else.
Yeah, because you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to do.
Live from your grave.
We, after all these years of working in this industry, or I don't even know what you call the school of thought, has anything gotten clearer to you? Or just because I have found in just my time of reading that I describe myself as a Robert Anton Wilson across the board agnostic, where I no longer fully believe in a single thing. Like you do twice the amount that I have. Where are you at now? What do you think's going on?
Some things have gotten clearer. I mean, if you think back to before that kind of groundbreaking New York Times yes. article in December 2017. Before that time, we didn't even know for sure that the US government had a program still looking at this. We knew that they had Project Blue Book back in the 50s and the 60s,
yeah.
but we didn't even know there was a program. Well, now at least people might not like what they say or believe some of it, but we have now acknowledgement that there have been these programs. We know their names. We know the names of some of the people who ran them. We have some of the videos. We have those three F-18 forward-looking infrared videos that have been released. We have some declassified reports. NASA have done a study. The Pentagon has done several reports. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence has done reports. So yeah, we have more data. We yeah. also have outside organizations like the Galileo Project run by Professor Avi Loeb at Harvard getting involved with
He's
this.
He's doing crazy work.
He's doing great work. Because a few years ago, scientists and academics were afraid this was like a third rail. You didn't touch it. It was career suicide. Now you've got heavyweight, internationally renowned astrophysicists like Avi Loeb talking openly about this and openly researching and investigating it. So we have moved forward. But of course, as is always the case, when you have more data, sometimes you just have more questions too.
Yeah.
New yeah. questions arise for sure.
Yeah.
You know, in science, you have to conduct experiments to find out if things are true or not. You know,
yeah.
and it's like, so if you're not even conducting the experiment, then how are we supposed to ever be prepared if anything does happen?
Exactly. And we need more scientists in this because the scientific method, absolutely, particularly in terms of things like repeatability, of course, you know, does not arise with a lot of the data
yeah.
in the UFO field, but it needs to. If this is to truly become mainstream. I mean, the subject has come out of the fringe and somewhat into the mainstream.
The one thing, though, is that does the subject hold up to the spotlight? Because that's the one issue I find as someone who's also wanting to help push UFOs into the mainstream is that then you start to realize, oh, there's some stuff in here that is like either real crazy, it's hard for people to maybe wrap their brains around, or there's some like weird stuff in the bottoms of ufology that's yeah. like bad.
Completely. There, look, let's make no bones about it. There is some material that gets brought into the UFO field, which is just plain wrong. And there are some people who attach themselves to the subject who are kind of either, you know, frankly crazy or just making it up.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, and there's a range of reasons. It could be financial, it could be attention seeking, it could be just the satisfaction of trying to put over a practical joke on people.
So now people, I think a lot of ufologists are just excited to party with Tom DeLonge.
Well, yeah, but that's why we need the scientific method in this field more than we currently have it. So we need more scientists involving themselves, and we need also to apply. And you know, this is a failing, I think, in the system more generally, but we need better critical thinking
yes.
in terms of things like locating and citing proper sources.
Yes.
You know, that would be my number one thing.
Internet literacy, essentially. Yeah,
exactly. Not, hey, I've found something on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah. See, also, I'm a person that, I ironically embrace out there ideas, and then more and more as I get older, it starts to become something I get into. And also, that's the problem sometimes.
Yes.
But I just like the weirdo ideas.
But people should push back against it, and you know, all of this, not all of it will stand up to the spotlight, to go back to your point. And that's good, because if it doesn't stand up to scrutiny, to the spotlight, throw it out.
Yep.
And then let's focus in on the things where we do have good data. The more we can throw out and say, you know what, we've looked at that and it's wrong, we can eliminate it. It's like, I don't know, a crime, like one of these movies where there's a murder and lots of suspects. Well, the more suspects you can eliminate, the closer you get to the real culprit.
Yeah, that's really, honestly, this has been great. First of all, we've learned a lot from you. You're a very intelligent man, but we're about to ruin it.
Okay.
Because we're gonna end it with our game. It's like, this is not, it's like, we just want to know more about you.
Okay.
So this is plumbing the depths of your soul.
Okay.
With Inside the Alien Studio.
Okay.
Inside the Alien, yes. And I don't know if you've ever seen James Lipton or not before, but we will do a bad impression of him.
He's not assuming that you know or have seen James Lipton because you're also British.
Okay. I'm not sure I have, but okay.
Yeah. All right. What is your favorite word?
Wife.
Ooh, very nice.
She's not going to see this.
What is your least favorite word?
It's two.
Okay.
Or it's three or four, is it? Closing time, or the bar is closed.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, sir. The bar is closed.
I'm sorry, sir. That's a sentence. That's my least favorite. Does that
favorite? No, least favorite word. If it's a single word, hate.
Yeah.
Because everything else that's bad, war, torture, prejudice, you know, everything probably stems from hate.
Yeah.
So
my least favorite word is plump.
I'm husky over here.
Yeah. I hate that word.
What turns you on?
It doesn't have to be sexual. This is not just what makes you hard.
Is it the Voss water?
What interests you?
This is a question about fetishes. No. What
turns Mr. Fetishes.
I am going to take this question in the more general sense. Mm-hmm.
Please.
Although it does read across intelligence.
Yeah.
What turns you off?
Closed-mindedness.
Yeah, I can see that. This is a fun one. All right. What is your favorite curse word?
It's, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but obviously one
will help.
Yeah, thank you. It is the one, and I was only recently introduced to it because Congressional Representative Tim Burchett, who is very engaged in the UFO field, uses it. And it's a Southern one. It's the God damn it, dumb it.
God damn it.
It's, and he's, maybe it's a slightly
is
different.
God damn it?
God, yeah, I think it's that one.
It's very Yosemite Sam.
Yes, that is.
It's that one.
That's a very purely American expression.
It's that
God
one.
Damn it. Reckon.
Next.
What sound do you love?
I'm going to be very corny again.
Please.
Same theme. The sound of my wife's voice.
Again, you don't got to suck up to her. What is your least favorite sound?
That's easy. It's the fingers on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I don't know what neuroscientists say about that, why it is. I think it's to do with a crying baby.
Yes.
Evolutionary biologists have said it's hardwired into us to be alerted by that so that we can protect the babies.
Yes.
The, you know, and there's something about So that.
Yeah, and I'm always trying to nurse the babies that I see crying outside.
And you know,
no one likes it.
Let me kind of qualify that. So my answer to the question is the fingers on the chalkboard, but a baby on a long haul flight, that's the same thing.
They should be kept in the hold.
Yeah, that's what
they should be kept in the bottom. Yeah, they should be underneath the plane.
All right. What profession, other than your own, would you like to have?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a cop.
Wow.
And, you know, if I had my time again and had to do something else, I think I'd be a cop.
Oh, wow.
And I would want, you know, maybe I just watched too many TV shows, but I would want to then become a detective looking at the most serious of cases, the homicides.
So I see you in like a Punisher shirt with the Oakleys and like the backwards trucker hat.
I would be the guy who opens the door after closing it and says, just one last thing.
One last thing, man. One of my favorite. What is a profession you would not want to try?
Probably anything that involves heights. So yeah. I don't think I would want to be a lineman.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also considered the number one most dangerous job in America.
I mean, yeah. Not only is it heights, but it's cables. So yeah. It's kind of like a double whammy.
Yeah, none of that.
But yet you researched the thing with the most height.
He's on the ground.
I'm on the ground.
Yeah.
So yeah, lineman, but also something else that I would not like. It would be like sewage working.
Yeah.
You know,
septic.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it though.
Smells, fumes, stuff.
This is the last one.
Okay.
If heaven exists and God is there, and when you enter to the pearly gates, what do you wish he or she would say to you?
That is a hard one. I think something like, welcome, Nick. You did good.
That's all I want to hear as well.
Yeah.
So, Henry, you did well. Mr. Pope.
You know, did you lead a good life? Because, yeah, that would be it. He would know.
If it's all real.
Or it.
But it might just be total blackness.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Honestly, Nick Pope, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for having time with us. Is there anything else you want to plug? Is there any book or socials or anything you want to plug?
You know, my website, for those that want to know a bit more about my background and my work, is nickpope.net.
Got it.
And my Twitter just changed to X, might change back to Twitter because Elon's apparently thinking about that. That's the social media platform I use most. And my handle there, at Nick Pope MOD, which of course the MOD is Ministry of Defense.
Yes.
So at Nick Pope MOD.
Absolutely. We'll harass you on
the socials.
Twitter. I'm saying Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I don't care.
You do what you want to do.
I'm going back. Thank you, Mr. Pope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been great chatting with you both.
It's been great chatting with you too. And say hi to your wife, Scully, for us.
I will do.
Say hi to your wife for me.